simulations, extreme experiments. You know, people are driven to suicide, right? That's pretty extreme. And you can say, well, this is just nuts and crazy. Yes, that's the way the soul works. And that's the way I think we need to speak. And that's part of the modern world, is that we are trying to be so perfect or adequate not to take the risks, to try to speak balanced, in a balanced way.
Cleanse the body, you know, of all the toxins.
I should do it. I've been so run down lately.
Really?
Yeah, I've just been really busy. We have this client dinner coming up.
Right. Maybe you should try it. Well, it'd be a lot of fun. You could do it together. Come on. Why don't you just try it?
Do you know what you want?
Yes, I'm going to have the fruit salad and the herbal iced tea.
Okay, and you.
I'll have the same.
Intelligence at this level is just basically like the phone company model. It's something that switches the intersections, the interconnections in a certain way with some kind of a hierarchy.
Have a tendency to create other beliefs to support it.
People should buy the book to see my other poems. I can't finish this thought. I know our dangers are the price we pay for freedom. This has been explained to me.
So that, for example, there will be no people in 1984 who haven't read a few good books. That would be an unusual situation. Never in the history of the world has that been true.
But purely on the extrapolative business of following a curve that is now in motion, it would be perfectly true.
Inevitable. I think it would.
For example, and you look around, well, your horizon expands. You see more and more and more from the same point of view.
And, you know, so I see more and more of that happening, actually.
And this is how the process generates from the living contact between Victor Borge and his audience.
Them up here.
He has never done that before a public, and it is very difficult for him to do.
You know, like many operating, well, we'll have to call them something else, I suppose, but there'll be little instruction nodules where, you know, that can be placed in any number of places to guide the flow of a lot of the traffic that'll be coming in the future on the net and the extended net, you know.
I get angry, I feel so mad, I feel like I'm running barefoot up a rock road.
You have a good many of your optimistic predictions.
Yes, that's very true. I think the most important single problem facing the human race
and the way in which it does this is that it searches as though it has a life of its own.
Thank you.
certain, I said. I would have to know from what, from whom it comes. Even from other vampires or elsewhere.
The net, while it's expanding externally on the phone lines and so forth, and, you know, and super expanding beyond the existing phone lines, it'll be expanding on a tertiary level. You know, it'll be expanding on a tertiary kind of level. Say for the kind of work you're starting to do now, where you're instead of just having like a dummy web page that's fed by like a translator, an HTML, instead there'll be more of an intelligence nodule placed in there, you know, placed in a different place or new places, like in this case on the server or on the actual browser, what have you, and it can. For the environment it's going to serve, it can be infinitely intelligent. It can be like as intelligent as an entire operating system is for a computer or for a whole switching system of phone lines or whatever.
Vicinity of the crematorium and in the gas chamber. Answer.
I have found, let's say, that actors often made very good progress and worked very well, and yet when they came in front of the audience, they were too aware of the presence of the audience. They could not get rid. Not to get rid of the idea that the audience is there, they darn well know that the audience is there, but to sufficiently do away with the presence so that it didn't influence, it didn't change what they were prepared to do.
And it can be given instructions to do, and it, you know, extraordinary numbers and kinds of things, you know.
Was in Auschwitz, I could see at a distance of 20 paces how SS men were driving a group of about 300 men, women and children in front of them. I had observed all this at about 4 p.m. On the following day, I was in the crematorium at 10 a.m. and there I saw 60 corpses, men, women and children of different ages. They were lying on the ground, and judging by their external appearance, they had been suffocated in the gas chambers.
And then it occurred to me that once and reading again and again, as I sometimes do, the words of Stanislavski, in which he mentions that one of the basic difficulties of the actor is to learn to be private in public.
Everything down from like the equivalent of like a cable box and a VCR that tells you which station out of 100 you want to get or when to go on and off to, you know, what to do with all those signals. You know, that can be like the lowest kind of a switcher. You know, and then you can have intelligent ones that actually interpret, translate, and take care of business, can be programmed, you know, permanently or ad hoc or what have you, you know. Yeah, just to finish that off, though, so I can see there being a lot of these, like, little intelligence, well, you know, what are they called in the trade? They're not agents, but, you know, let's just call them little nodes, and they can be placed and programmed, you know, a lot of different little places.
A new voice. As you will enter these fields of play with your individuality, and within those fields, as you will play, as you will work, as you will explore, as you will discover, as you will ponder, as you will savor, the words are so many here, you will find those new horizons, and beyond its window, beyond its door, you will find opportunity and you will find potential. So what are these four arenas that we are talking of? What are these four fields of play? They are, and we take our hint from what you can discover, what you can embrace to create a matrix of empowerment. They are resonance, abundance, momentum, balance. Each within your domain, however that domain is defined, however positively or negatively, however expansively or constrictively it may be defined. Each of you has 1, 2, 3, 4 and so many more. Each of you have these fields of play: resonance, abundance, momentum, balance.
But this is a new wave, though, isn't it, for audio, video, or multifunctional websites, right? Thank you. not be a fool. I will not be disappointed. I will not be hurt again.
Camera, this is probably the one you're talking about. Yeah, I don't know that it's so much out of focus. It may be caused by the fact that it's probably moving, or maybe there's energy around the crack, or it might be getting I do know that little van there is roughly 6 feet wide and about 12 feet long because I slept in it for about 3 months. That was my little home out behind the house in the summer of 88, I think it was, when I was there. So here you got a pretty close shot. And again, like you said, these pictures have really not been scrutinized very well, and many people have trouble thinking that they're real. Wow. Now, that's Billy's house in the background, and these are the ones to me. I'm pretty familiar with that view. I know just about where I'd be standing to see the house at that size. And to me, this craft looks a little small.
Teenagers, especially out there, who think there's something wrong with them because they're gay, and there's nothing wrong with you. Don't ever let anybody make you feel ashamed of who you are. Please hold this. There are so many people that went into doing this, and I'm sure I'm going to forget a lot of people, but Dava Savelle, Mark Driscoll, Tracy Newman, John Stark, Matt Goldman, Jan Nash, David Flabott, Alex Hirschlag, Mark Wilding, Ellen Idelson, Rob Leiderstein, Vance DeGeneres, Dave Wolpert, Jennifer Fisher. Our director, Gil Younger, it was fantastic. Congratulations to you, Gil, no matter what. Vic Kaplan, our executive producer, Lorraine Richmond, who helps me every week. Everybody else, all the cast members, thank you so much. We really appreciate feeling acknowledged. Thank you.
Hold them for their vaccinations. Some of the animals would sort of just relax. So then I talked my aunt into letting me try it, and for about an hour afterwards, I was a lot calmer. In fact, pressure is used by a lot of therapists with autistic children. They'll roll them up in mats, they'll get them under beanbag chairs, and it helps to relax them and calm down the nervous system so it's easier to work on things like learning how to talk.
What is elsewhere? That, I pointed to the medieval picture. That is a picture, he said. Nothing more, nothing more. Then Satan, some satanic power, doesn't give you your power here, either as leader or as vampire. No, he said calmly. And the other vampires? No, he said. Then we are not, I sat forward, the children of Satan? How could we be the children of Satan, he asked. Do you believe that Satan made this world around you? No, I believe that God made it, if anyone made it. But he also must have made Satan, and I want to know if we are his children. Exactly. And consequently, if you believe God made Satan, you must realize that all Satan's power comes from God, and that Satan is simply God's child, and that we are God's children also. There are no children of Satan, really. I sat back against the leather, looking at that small woodcut of the devil, lost in my thoughts, in the undeniable implications of his simple logic. But why does this concern you? Surely what I say doesn't surprise you, he said. Why do you let it affect you? Let me explain, I began. I know that you're a master vampire. I respect you, but I'm incapable of your detachment. I know what it is, and I do not possess it, and I doubt that I ever will. I accept this. I understand, he nodded. I saw you in the theater, your suffering, your sympathy with that girl. I saw your sympathy for Dennis when I offered him to you. You die when you kill, as if you feel that you deserve to die, and you stint on nothing. But why, with this passion and this sense of justice, do you wish to call yourself the child of Satan? I am evil. Evil as any vampire who ever lived. I've killed over and over, and will do it again. I took that boy, Dennis, when you gave him to me, though I was incapable of knowing whether he would survive or not. Why does that make you as evil as any vampire? He sat back as if for the moment stopped, his large eyes narrowing, then fixing on the depths of the fire. His speech commenced without the slightest warning. This is the only real evil left, he said to the flames. Yes, I answered, feeling that all-consuming subject alive again, obliterating all concerns, as it always had for me. It's true, he said, shocking me, deepening my sadness, my despair. Then God does not exist? You have no knowledge of his existence? None, he said. No knowledge, I said it again, unafraid of my simplicity, my miserable human pain. None. And no vampire here has discourse with God or with the devil? No vampire that I've ever known, he said, musing, the fire dancing in his eyes. As far as I know, today, after 400 years, I am the oldest living vampire in the world. I stared at him, astonished. Then it began to sink in. It was as I'd always feared, and it was as lonely, it was as totally without hope. This evil, this concept, it comes from disappointment, from bitterness, don't you see? children of Satan, children of God. Is this the only question you bring to me? Is this the only power that obsesses you, that you must make us gods and devils yourself, when the only power that exists is inside ourselves? Are you mad? I asked, astonished at my own anger, my own despair. You ask me how I could believe I would find a meaning in the supernatural. I tell you, after seeing what I have become, I could damn well believe anything. Couldn't you? And believing thus, being thus confounded, I can now accept the most fantastical truth of all, that there is no meaning to any of this. I backed towards the door, away from his astonished face, his hand hovering before his lips, the finger curling to dig into his palm. Don't. Come back, he whispered. It was my desire to escape the theater then entirely, but as I groped along the stone passage of the lower cellar, I became confused. It seemed more than ever absurd to me that Lestat should have died, if in fact he had. And looking back on him, I saw him more kindly than before, not the jealous protector of any knowledge he was afraid to share. He knew nothing. There was nothing to know. I found myself sitting finally on those dark steps, a weariness overcoming me. And again came that thought. I have wronged Lestat. I have hated him for all the wrong reasons. I whispered it now, trying to withdraw it from the dark, inarticulate pool of my mind. But then a voice came softly to me on the ear. How is this so? How did you wrong him? It was the trickster vampire whom my mom had called Santiago. Yet nothing in his manner indicated his former self, that devilish, hateful self that I had seen. It makes no difference to anyone, I said to him, the fear in me subsiding. But you said a name. I have heard you say a name, he said. A name I don't want to say again, I answered, looking away from him.
Simply to keep themselves protected, so it becomes a universal language, but it also is very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Voice dialogue was something else that I worked with, and voice dialogue is a technique where you discover or uncover all the different aspects of one's personality. You can have, you know, there's the warrior, and there's the mother, and there's the child, of course, mm-hmm. and there's the businessman, there's all the different parts of one's being. So that was what brought about this show that I'm doing, which I just turned it into a performance art exposition voice dialogue.
And that brings us up to the here now. We meet again. The radio machine is on, pumping out some ZBC. Full octane for your money. No complaints. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman, ZBC, Adam Newton. And that should set it in time and space for yous. For those who must know, or think they must. Well, I've been as deluded and as denuded as anyone. Such a drive for a living we have, man. Like super weeds. Semi-outlawed, on the planet, but growing through stone if necessary. But without any perspective, so anybody's opinion is as good as anybody else's, including any of my own, vis-a-vis any others of my own. Kind of a free-floating, unreferenced anti- or zero-gravity experience, except there does seem to be gravity somewhere, and definitely a point of reference, but I can never remember exactly what that is. Said over and over in recorded white history man, history book man things, and other ethnic bleed-throughs. I guess. I wouldn't know. But I'd like to know. And I'd definitely like to know more about myself. Oh, so long, many years ago. Even the death urge is an aliveness, you know? I want to die alive. Or die with variety. Or certainly with the variety of multi-temporalism. Like weeds. Even like marijuana weed. Against the law. Finally tripped over that paper thing. We would rather cut down old trees for paper than take the manna from heaven of weed hemp paper that's cheaper than shit. And that is a good model for my lack of memory. I can't find that Dr. Memory anywhere. I get mail from there. With return address on there. Going till 2 o'clock. It's a habit. Amnesia is my co-pilot. I know only pain, like the lion on the road there. Got it?
And go after them that way. For we believe that we have strong grounds to stand on. So, brothers and sisters,
definitely a true believer. True believers, everyone. you know, like the people who make entertainment product in the media industry now, like independent production houses who make, let's say, 1 hour or half hour TV shows to sell to the networks. They don't spend any time on the actual technology of how to make that show. All their energy is involved in the aesthetics. However commercialized it may be, it's still more on the art side.
To behave, not that that the public isn't there, but as if the public is not here. And if the public wants to be, it is where he is, instead of him being where the public is.
That it has an ability of its own to search out within the contents of the conscious mind and find that which agrees with it, either particularly or even remotely.
Same ship at night. The discoloration is just from the night lights discoloring the film. The ship itself wasn't gold. It's interesting to note that the craft that they allowed him to photograph originally, that flying saucer type, they used that on purpose because they said we'd be more comfortable with it. But because the majority of our population spiritually were of Lyrian descent, it would feel comfortable in our spiritual memories. Where this craft is new, it will feel kind of different to us. It will seem foreign to us. And it does to most people, yeah. It is a strange looking thing.
What time is it?
The lighting here, he's standing in front of his house. To the top left up there, there's two or three big lights out there that illuminate the parking lot in front of the house, and that's the light source. They park in front. There's enough room there to park about 8 cars long there. And there's a couple of those big floods on poles out there, yeah. Well, this one's a little out of order, but it's sitting on the ground there. It's set down on the ground on very small tripod legs, apparently, just a few inches off the ground. Now this picture, and I have one other that's just a little bit closer, a couple of friends of mine, we've blown it up, and we've noticed that laying around on the ship, there are, looks like hand tools of some kind laying around on top of it. Yeah, if you look close on the top level there, there looks like something, there's a little hand tool of some kind laying there. And on two or three other places, there's some green-looking little devices that look like little handheld electric shavers or something like that, shaped laying around on top of it. And we couldn't figure it out either. It is a strange looking thing.
operated by itself, or was it persons in some way?
Billy says there is a man in it, that he came in it and he left in it. So it wasn't remote, but again, to me, it doesn't look as big as the others. And it might have been a small test device of some kind. Maybe they were just testing it out. This is kind of a strange one. I'll have to explain it, or you won't know quite what you're looking at here. If you look at that gold ring of light there, lift your eyes, go right to the middle of it, and then slowly go down, you'll see Billy's legs. Mm-hmm. Billy's standing there. At the time he took the picture, somebody else took the picture. See this craft? Billy ran over underneath the craft right after he shot this shot, and is holding his camera up. In the middle of that ring, you'll see the top of his head and his hand there, very small. He's holding his camera up to try to get a picture of the craft right over his head. And the person who took this picture, when he snapped the shot, didn't see any of this light. And when it came out on the film, it looks like what we have is some sort of energy coming off the craft that showed up on the film and kind of blocked Billy from view there. So it's kind of a strange picture.
Will begin to tie or make a chain. This is called a belief pattern, where a pattern in your life begins to surface. I can never get any money. I can't seem to hold a job. I'm always sick. Nothing I ever do turns out right. You see, these are all keys that there is a belief pattern here at work. And it is the recognition of this pattern that can assist you in changing it around.
Anger. It feels like all the hatred in the world has gone into you and you just have to blow up. So you just have to let it out. So you scream and kick to let it out. But always, there would be a little left in you.
And even the selling of those isn't that much labor intensive anymore because, you know, the networks want that product and they will demand to see anything made in the field for them, so they'll pretty much sell it to themselves.
That's what happened with me. Before I was learning syllables, then it became words, then it became sentences, and now I'm making novels. If you want, like that.
You mean you began with the one word, the syllable, and then you create the language?
I had to. We had to. No, I was not alone. We had to.
All you've got to do as the producer of that product is be good at doing that.
So your aunt had a cattle ranch?
Yes, she did.
So after you realized how... Tell us about... to follow through... you know, it's easy to figure out cattle because I think visually, and social skills by example. I have to look because I have a difficult time understanding how somebody can be a. See, most of my relationships are. Very angry, and and I want to change things.
Now,
Let us talk of resonance. You know what resonance is about. We have talked about it so very long. You have discovered, you have worked with it, certainly so. You know what resonance is. Frequencies of vibration, held within a field of play, yes, held within the same place, will create an interference patterns. Those frequencies of vibrations with their amplitudes, with their frequencies, with their magnitude, will create an interference pattern, and in time, the frequencies of vibration, either raising or lowering, will come to be one, and out of the one will emerge a standing wave more powerful than its components, a standing wave that is called resonance. Each of you has resonance, this you know. But often, you don't know what your resonance is. You know that you have it, and you have some sense of where it may be. But you don't know what it is. When often asked, what is your resonance, or when you ask yourself here, you will answer not with what it is, but you will answer instead with where it is. High, low, good, bad, right, wrong, in tune, out of tune, in the zone, in various places that you use to apply to locate where your resonance is. And often this supplants and replaces any sense of what it may be. And when you ask most people, even when you ask yourself, what is my resonance around this or around that? What is my resonance when it comes to this or when it comes to that? Often the answer is, it's high, it's low, it's my, well, it's good, it's bad, it's, oh, I need to, oh, it should be. But it's very seldom knowing what it is. What makes up your resonance?
And then, you know, try to be in sync with the industry fantasies, you know, that marketing, which people continue to be stupid about, you know, and because too many other agendas get in the way of marketing, for marketing to just be the raw Nazi science that it is, you know.
Let us go forth from here, and as we go forth from here, let us build a greater cohesiveness and unity and love among ourselves.
That's right.
Let's build brotherhood, sisterhood, friendship and fellowship and sistership and brothership, and get rid of the bullshit.
I was just kind of overpowered by the presence of this person, intimidated, and I just never got over this sense of what it means to be a respecter of all persons in the same way.
This is the last one. Okay. One area of the universe to the other is obviously fascinating, and there's a lot of theories on how it may be possible that we could actually do that. There's a couple of ways that the Pleiadians are explaining that it is possible. The first way that we may come across has to do with the shape of the universe itself. The universe itself is divided up into different bands of energy. Now, the universe, if we could get outside of it and I could hold it in my hand, it would be egg-shaped. It's oval. And if I would slice it in half, throw away the top, and show you the insides of it, it would look like a tree trunk. You would see bands in there. There are seven bands. They are all energy except the fifth band, which is the material belt. That's where all the stars and everything else are. The other layers never have material matter in them. They are only what they call creational matter, which creates the fifth. Okay.
Done.
In other words, people continue to be stupid about, because too many other agendas get in the way of marketing, for marketing to just be the raw Nazi science that it is,
But before that can happen, my friends, you've got to be willing to look into your own eyes.
Don't get lost on the news. Don't get lost on the
Where is it located? Though that is important, please. You need to know whether it is high or low, good or bad, right or wrong, on target, off target, in the zone, out of the zone, in tune, out of touch, whatever the terms you may use to describe the where. That's vital. That's important. Don't lose that. But what is your resonance? What makes it up? You look into your sense of power and your sense of strength. What? All my power. No, it's not all your power. Portions of your power. Parts of your power. What parts? Which powers specifically, which strengths specifically are a part of your resonance, and of your weaknesses as well, and of your powerlessness as well, of those energies that render you powerless, those energies that render you weak, they may be, perhaps, part of your resonance as well. From those that are the feminine energy within you, and the masculine energy, sometimes twisted by the chauvinism, sometimes not so, but what parts of the masculine energy, what parts of the feminine energy, regardless of your gender, what parts of these are within your resonance, and what from your shadow, yes, what from the dark shadow, what of you has been tossed away, discarded as though it were litter that has been picked up and held by your shadow, whether it's the dark shadow, the stuff in you you want to deny, no matter how beautiful or ugly it may be, or the light shadow that holds that which is the lion within her.
Diane, 12:01 a.m., Black Lake Cemetery. A new day for all but the dead. Sorry, folks. In the recorded history of man's organized attempts to civilize this planet, and more specifically their communities, men have always formed groups, clubs, or societies, often cloaked in secrecy, to protect and preserve certain elements within their social structure. Twin Peaks is no different. Sheriff Truman, Hawk, Big Ed, James Hurley, and others unknown to me have taken up that mantle. They call themselves the Bookhouse Boys, defenders in what appears to be an age-old fight against a kind of darkness in the woods surrounding this town. This is clearly a place that inspires dreaming about darkness and light. And who knows what dreams are real? Deputy Hawk spoke tonight of a soul that wanders, a dream soul, a Blackfoot legend. With her burial today, I hope Laura's spirit finds more peace wherever it is now than it did in its brief time on this earth.
No matter how much you may want to accept or deny it, you have both these dark and light shadows. We've talked of them on many occasions. You know them well. What from shadow is part of your resonance? And what of destiny? Yes, that's right. What of destiny is part of your resonance? And what of beauty or of ecstasy is there? What bits of passion for creativity are held within your resonance, are part of it? What resonance of your dreams are part of your resonance of doing and of being that is your life? Maybe it is within your passion for the unknown, or it is in with the imagination and intuition. Perhaps it is in the very dreams and visions that your higher self holds for you that you will find pieces of what is your destiny. But these are the places to look.
Then on the other hand, they say this far-off place has freedom, but no maddened poor. I know this isn't right. That's not the way we're made. It's lies. Still, just to see how it would feel, I think, yes, I would like to go there once before I die.
Me. When anyone asks me to write a story or a poem or a play, I always sit for such a long time thinking what to write about, and in the end, if it's at school, I get into trouble because I left it so long I don't write anything. And if I do write, I spell it all wrong and get into trouble for that. So it's just as bad anyway. I've been kept behind at school today because I do not attend to my teacher during lessons. He told me I must write 200 lines of three words. Look, listen, and learn. It's on the blackboard, so I can spell it right. Look, listen, and learn. and learn. I'm fed up. Listen and learn.
And then my father, he never was a person who would talk about himself and about his things. He says, because if you do, you might make other people who don't have those things or those opportunities feel lessened to some degree.
Yeah.
And he was modest, and he wanted to make a difference. And so he spent 15 years of his life producing a book to be read by 16 people. People of influence, and it did impact them. It was a powerful book.
And what was it called?
It's called The Revelation Monument Building. It was a recommendation for a special building to be built in a certain location to show how God deals with his children through art and architecture.
Wow.
In fact,
to know where, but to know what your destiny, rather, excuse us, not just to know where, but to know what your resonance is all about.
Photography is a single art, like painting, like writing, like music. Cinematography is a communal art. I think is not an art form that can be expressed by one single person. So, of course, there is the director, which is like the main author of the entire communal expression, because having several persons express themselves in the same art form, everybody can go in different direction.
Otherwise, the government would be a nullity. Let me take up then just one other issue, which I think bulks very large in the libertarian analysis, and that is the issue of spontaneous order.
Do you feel like you're missing out on something special by not being in love and not understanding that emotion?
Stanislavski, in which he mentions that one of the basic difficulties of the actor is to learn to be private in public, to behave, not that he... that the public isn't there, but as if the public is not here, and if the public wants to be, it is where he is instead of him being where the public is.
I mean, I'm sitting with a babe, I'm watching TV, I'm eating clam dip with a Ripple potato chip, I'm smoking joints, I'm snorting coke, I'm drinking shots of Jack Daniels, I'm chasing them with glasses of champagne mixed with Heineken. I'm sitting there, man, I'm thinking to myself, this is civilized. You know what I mean?
In other words, you know, like people who make movies or TV shows, they pretend not to know what's going to sell, you know, because they entertain so many other agendas in that particular line of work. And then all the slanderings and stuff that go on towards the aesthetic production of things in this culture, you know, which is male dominated, you know, all those issues against creativity and the feminine and all that. You know, this communication slash media world will be so big that you know, there'll be a lot of this needed, and advertising companies are only involved in a certain portion of this market anyway, mostly the commercial marketing side. The rest, in other words, you know what I see is that all these various industries that are anywhere near the media / communications part of things will move much more towards those things and join them, as, you know, I've talked about how media will become the major involvement worldwide. It will be the vast majority of all human activity, if not all human activity. I pretty much think 100% will be media. Now, depending on what you think of media, that can either be hellhole or, you know, Jew heaven or something, you know. Opting for the latter one there. But basically, you know, advertising companies like they exist now, serving industries in capitalism and using propaganda, you know, they're a perfect industry to create a lot of these websites, you know, these...
Gary, hold on one second, sorry.
So a lot of these allied industries that have nothing really to do with media communications, or certainly not entertainment now, can move over to the main thrust, which will be this, the world's industry, which will be media communications entertainment.
This is nice. Does it get any better than this, man?
What Cuba Gooding do right now? I just want to thank everybody who worked on the show, the production partners, Sandy and Tom and everybody, HBO, Carolyn, Chris, my wife for cooking every night as I drove to, you know, the comic strip to work on my act. But my brothers, who even though I was broke, they would watch other comedians and go, yo, man, you can take this guy, man. He ain't nobody, man. You can take him, man. He's a punk. Yo, thank everybody. Thank you. If I forgot anybody, you. Thank you. I gotta go. Thank you.
The O.J. Trial, originally performed June 30th, 1995. The O.J. Trial. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
Are you going in there? Look,
I think we're gonna
if
have
you
a
see
really
a nudist named
there,
Art Holflaffer down there, now tell him to get right...
Yes?
Hey.
Yes, remember?
Hey, Mr. Hamburger... Seekers, now I've seen it all.
started to get involved in the whole idea there isn't a quick fix in life.
Yeah.
And not to look for it and to emotionally free yourself from it.
After her, we were stuck with a cranky cleaning lady who couldn't get her story right in any language and a dishwater blonde professional roommate who only surfs other people's careers.
I mean, you can't, what else could you want? If George Bush wishes he was doing this right now, man.
What's that, MCE or MEC or CEM, something like that.
So from the writer to the musician to the production designer to the costume designer to the cinematographer to the editor, someone should be responsible.
In your own eyes and seriously contemplate yourself, you'll very soon, very quickly find yourself looking away.
Same jab strings, it's all the same shit.
I'm Agent Ernoy.
What's that? Looks like a big fried egg.
Now we are down to millions of you.
Oh, no.
Now you will enter the golden age.
Moment, I'm on the pier at the foot of the steps. With Claudia in his arms, I took her quickly from him. And then, with a powerful thrust of his arm, Amon pushed Santiago away. You cannot safely leave the theater tonight, he whispered to me. He is suspicious of you. And my having brought you here, he feels that it is his right to know you better.
Because you will see things in yourself that you won't be able, or your mind will not tell you what it is you're seeing.
Behave it in public. To behave, not that that the public isn't there, but as if the public is not here. And if the public wants to be, it is where he is, instead of him being where the public is.
I'm never going to get through this without using this. As my twisted character might say right now, I'd love a tequila shooter. David, you've given me the most incredible gift. Great words. Stephen, thank you for keeping all your promises. Tinker, Bill, Bob, Paris, all the great writers, the directors, our great crew. Jimmy, what can I say? Dennis, Gordy, McDaddy, I'm so nervous. Nikki, Andy, Melissa, my partner in crime, my always supportive parents and brothers, I love you, my monkeys, my inspiration, my son, and Alan, thanks for putting up with Francis. I am so proud to be doing the show. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All these web presences will be, you know, anywhere from like an online TV show to a multi-computational service area. And they can be designed like MUDs or they can be designed like any kind of a virtual presence or like virtual reality with movement. They can have any of the add-ons, which would be stuff like various applications of, you know, in other words, anything that can be digitized can be plugged in.
And I got bummed out. I got bummed out, Joe, because I sat there and I thought to myself, I thought about Louis. I thought to myself, he's going to get married. He's never going to have fun like this for the rest of his life, man. Guys get married, you might as well shoot him, put him in a box someplace, yeah? Now, get out. What are you kidding me? Come on.
And it then occurred to me that it might be possible to create some kind of exercise which would deal more directly with this specific part of the problem.
Understanding.
It can't be, it's them!
Wait, Zippo! There's only one guy down there! Hello, Cox! Where did everybody go?
They just missed you! They've all disappeared into the center of the earth!
Oh, well, they go!
Look, listen, and learn. Look, listen, and learn. Look, listen, and learn. I'm fed up. Every time my teacher said, look, listen, and learn, he hit me on the head with his knuckles. This is to make it sink in. If he's not... Makes me jump, and I look, because sometimes his false teeth drop down a bit on some words, and he makes a little slurpy sound when he catches them up with his tongue.
I'm going to call him up 6 months from now, Joey. I'm going to say, Louie, let's go out. Let's play some pool or something. Drive around, smoke a couple of J's. You know what he's going to say to me? I can't. I have to go to the mall with my wife, look for towels and jeans. All of a sudden, The 20s had... And if he said... All of a sudden, the 20s had... I'm going to call him up 6 months from now, Joey. I'm going to say, Louie, let's go out. Let's play some pool or something. Drive around, smoke a couple of J's. You know what he's going to say to me?
And so you can have whole private worlds. There'll be whole illegal areas. There'll be all sorts of places, and they'll all be serviced by people who do what the webmaster type people do now.
Cato Kalin is to pull out couches what Bruce Lee was to nunchucks.
I'm missing out on some things, but I also have talents that other people don't have. I don't want...
In a wordy way, but you will get the sensation of it, the emotional feeling of it.
And like I say, advertisers should know that that's their industry. As it were, you know?
Thank you. Well, I'm bereft. Thanks to West 107th Street, New York, for raising me right. George, you know what I mean. Thanks to the Academy for this wonderful honor. Wonderful cast and crew up. John Tinker, Bill DeLeo, Rob. Jim Hart. Thanks to West 107th Street, New York. Thanks to West 107th Street, New York, for raising me right. Thanks to West 107th Street, New York, for raising me right. And thank you to West 107th Street, New York, for raising me right.
Sir, my hardworking public.
And thank you to manager Mark Teitelbaum, for raising me right.
And you see that more and more people would do that, even the so-called the hardline type people.
One, a phony one, that in privacy, people did many of the things which on the stage we think of as being highly theatrical. What we then do is try to create the sense of privacy, where I am. We try to create the sense of privacy. The truth in that, people in private spoke. of as being highly theatrical.
And you will back away. Because, my friends, oftentimes when you look at the self, it can be very frightening. Because you see, yourself is a stranger to you. It is like an alien waiting to get in.
Christ, there's an accountant right here in Hollywood who can prove to you that Forrest Gump lost money.
I didn't say that other word.
Resonant phrase, and I think pivotal to the expectation that
and you see, in that, it is important not just to have labels, not just to, like building blocks, put this and that and the other and sort of throw them into some sort of pot and hope that something of value comes out of it. No, it is important to know, yes, and to have those particular words, or those particular labels, those particular symbols that represent the components, certainly so, that represent the constituent parts, if you will, of your particular resonance. But it is more than that, because it is important to understand that resonance has dissonance and consonance. Yes, it has dissonance. There's a tendency to think that resonance, good resonance, powerful resonance, the right resonance, is all just harmonious, it's all just consonant sounds. In that regard, there's no dissonance whatsoever, but that's not so. Within every resonance, there are certain things that are in a state of dissonance, a state of disarray, a state of erraticness, a state of disorder, a state of distress in that regard, however you want to term it. And dissonance is an important part of your resonance, as certainly so is consonance. Consonance, that which is steady, that which is solid, that which is in a brilliant array as opposed to a disarray, that is the consonance of this or that item. So let us say, let us an example give. Fear. Some of you can well say, and perhaps wisely so, of course, fear is a part of your resonance. But the question becomes, is it a dissonant part, or is it a consonant part? Fear in a state of dissonance is erratic fear, is a fear in disarray, is a fear that has at times strength, but also weakness. It is a fear that has a certain sense of fluidity and flexibility that allows it to be broken apart fairly easily. Fear in a dissonant state within a resonance can be a very wonderful thing. It can be teacher. It can be guide. It can be a source of many whispers about direction. Fear in a dissonant state can be beautiful and powerful. However, fear when it is in a consonant state means that it's steady, it's strong, it's constant, always there, like a percussion, always there in everything. And you see people of this nature. You know people out there in the world who seem, no matter what, to always be afraid. Whether it's good, they're afraid. When it's bad, they're afraid. When it's right, they're afraid. When things are wonderful, they're afraid. When things are terrible, they're afraid. When they're alone, they're afraid. When they're with other... Fear is consonant. Every day, almost every hour, every moment, fear, fear, fear. Bang, 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 bang. It has this consonant energy. It's solid. It's a strange harmony, but nonetheless, it is part of that. And therefore, not to make the mistake of assuming that dissonance is bad and that consonance is good. No.
Diane, sunrise. Slept badly. Something I thought wasn't possible to do here. The face of a young girl seemed to haunt me all night. I'm not sure who, living or dead. I also discovered the source of the perfume on the note slipped under my door. It belongs to Audrey Horne. She wants to play detective. Let me rephrase that. She wants to help with the investigation. I'm sure it's all just a young girl's romantic fantasy to her. She's 18, by the way, last August 24th. I must remain alert and cautious in this area, Diane. She clearly doesn't understand the dangers involved, both physical and emotional.
Marijuana at least should be available, and then we have the federal government come in and say, well, they were hoodwinked. Well, that's baloney. They weren't hoodwinked.
Yeah, sleep at the switch. East of the Rockies, you're on there with Chris. They monitor even the normal drugs. I saw the story of a doctor not very long ago who was prescribing drugs for people who were dying, and basically, he was doing what we were talking about earlier. If they wanted something, he gave it to them. Big deal. The people are dying. They know what their level of tolerance is.
Who taught me that having bad manners is much worse than being poor.
Voluntary cooperation can substitute for all or nearly all forms of coercion.
You know, the planet Earth. And
bombs, fucking Sony radios or something? And then worse, drivers, I mean, how do you drive with your eyes three quarters closed, eh? You could blindfold these people with fucking dental floss. You don't give them keys to a car. Oh, shit. And then you got these other people, right? I don't know what they are. They're not white. They're not black. They're like urine colored, you know? They walk around with their fucking laundry on their head and shit, you know what I'm saying?
I'd like to read another few familiar words.
And never leave food on my plate.
What we then do is try to create the sense of privacy where I am. We do not force the actor to behave that way. He has to create the sense of privacy sufficient for himself so that it begins to encourage him to do, to think, to behave, to feel, whatever it is, as he does in private.
And I don't know what that ratio is, but it'll carry through. So the more cyber there'll be, the more paper. There'll be a lot more paper even than there is now, but it won't cost anything because it'll be made from hemp plants. See, that was the big problem. Configured for us. Thank you very much, William Randolph. That's why there's been a big problem. Like, you know, the computers were supposed to replace paper. Well, that's not the law. That's not how things work. We know that it created a lot more paper. But at any rate, so advertising companies will do a lot of this business commerce propaganda stuff for marketing for corporations. But every there'll be lots and lots of need for web presence. And nobody's going to want to do, very few people are going to want to actually design these things. They're just going to want them.
Just gonna want them.
What they need to prevent pain, so he gave it to them. DEA came in, goodbye license.
Let's get rid of the nigger mess.
See, let me tell you something. I grew up in a neighborhood with black, white, that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying?
I just hope it was worth my while, Mr.
I could give you a false name, but I won't. Just call me X.
No. It depends upon what the dissonance is around. To have mortar in your resonance, perhaps not a good thing at all, but if it's there, is it in a state of consonance? Is it always there? Is it woven into everything you do? Or is it in a state of dissonance, somewhat sporadic, many times not there, sometimes there? You see, it is important to know, mortar is in my resonance, but is it in a state of dissonance, meaning that it's weak, unfluid, or fluid in its weakness, and can be changed, can be adjusted very readily? Or is it consonant, in its consonance, and therefore solid, and in its place, seeming unmovable?
Diane, 1 p.m., in the motel room of a Philip M. Gerard, the one-armed man, a traveling salesman, shoes, middle name Mike, as in my dream. The killer in my dream was named Bob. Mr. Gerard has a friend named Bob Lydecker, a veterinarian who works above a convenience store. He is currently a coma patient in Calhoun Memorial, Gerard's reason for visits. Extrapolating from my dream, I believe we will find that whoever owned the bird that attacked Laura Palmer took that bird to the Lydecker clinic and perhaps bought the twine used to bind Laura's wrists in the store downstairs.
Just a skosh more than that, isn't it? And then you're actually going across and finding that it's going to give you the better part of an inch, maybe more like 7/8 across. Before we go to the phone, let me show you something else. There is a hinge on the left side, and as I put my nail in there, you see that it is a true locket. So you can easily put two pictures of somebody very, very special right in that locket. Oh.
But the worst thing about that horror film is that people look at it as if it were a fiction of somebody's perverted imagination.
When in fact it's in all of us, it's back to the incubus.
How are we going to get people to experience it that way?
Relate to black guys. I can hang out with black guys. I can't hang out with a guy whose name is Ahnan.
Boy,
you know. Everybody's passionate.
No, you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, I can't. I have to go to the mall with my wife, look for towels and sheets.
And then there's O.J.'s much ballyhooed dream team. Despite the fact that there's a mountain of evidence against O.J. that Anna Nicole Smith could hang glide off of, the defense team's big counter-argument is that it's a frame-up, a highly sophisticated police conspiracy.
But in fact, it is you. You are running and hiding from yourself.
Not an unusual story.
What is that, Dr. M? Right, and again, this is a case where the doctors who, a lot of doctors are afraid to prescribe heavy medications because they don't want their license to be scrutinized and perhaps pulled. So then you find a few doctors like this guy, who, his name I don't remember by the way, who are willing to take the chance, and they are get targeted by the federal government. So now my understanding is there's something like 200 to 400 patients that he had that no longer have access to pain medication.
That's correct.
And I have to go to the mall with my wife, look for towels and sheets.
Okay, anything else you want to ask me while you have me?
Sure. I have actually questions relative to Gonzo sociology, the way that we...
Oh, Gonzo sociology. Yes. My Gonzo sociology phase, yes.
Yes.
I remember that.
And also answering to Robert's androphobia phase.
All right.
I'm curious to have any updates or reports on that, because that was the last tape that we actually did.
Oh, that's right. We did that in L.A. Yes. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, but there is an impact about these political opinions in a certain fashion. You know, women look to women for what to think about various things, and that was interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, somebody just asked me, Heather over there just asked me if... When she was looking at the Book of the Breast, she said, sometimes people say your husband is sexist. What do you say to that? And I said, well, I think he is sometimes, and I think I am too.
Because they're going to want to use them, you know. And so there'll be an infinite need for these things. Don't wait for the instructions, just go right ahead and use them. It's the WZBC. Out of Newton. Good cover. Stupid College Radio. Really a front for an international distribution company where we all as DJs have real jobs. And then pollute our blood and go on the air to do some bad college radio, and round it goes. 90.3 New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. Every Thursday, 10 to 2, weekly, round and round, like a crop circle. I'm snapping those crop circles up right and left, I want to tell you. In other words, that crop circle doesn't wind up in the wheat, if you know what I drift. And I'm loving it, my friends. Go get yourselves one. It's open season, and there's no quota. Some of those circles have your name interwoven into them, including Doug and Dave. There's only one way out of here, my friends. And you must leave DOA. And that way is in the middle, not at the end of your life. Art Bell every weekday night, 1 a.m. till 5 on RKO 680 a.m. radio. Some interesting things passing through there, as opposed to the rest of your life or the rest of the consensus life we live, where the skull hunters march through. Quick draw artists, they be. This being the bastion of protective surgery. The null point of the Northeast irons, if you're a sailor. A good catch-all for safety and life and limb kind of a paragraph there of that. Don't try to drive a vehicle, however.
I've already been warned by the agency, Mr. Whoever, so this is another type of threat.
Not with the agency, Mr. Garrison.
I'm representing myself, Your Honor. Sphere coming out in December. Big cast. Dustin Hoffman and assorted A-list actors. Michael Crichton novel about new metaphysics. In this age of the alien presence, we love aliens, man. Want to kiss those suckers right on the lips or whatever they've got. Put the RCA plug right in there. Jack up the voltage. It's the decade of alien love. Do it safely, my friends. Don't be reckless, like some have been, and jump out of your own skin. I like to wear cotton clothing. The tactile comfort is something I can rely on, and there's so few things to rely on in a world without any reference points. Seemingly, of course. Let's not get carried away now. Can wander into a personal hell and, you know, we don't want to do that.
I assume if you've come this far, what I have to say interests you.
Several of them have committed suicide. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Chris Conrad. Hi.
Hi, Art. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
No, Art, I am so glad you're having this show. Back in 89, I heard Chris Conrad on the radio station that I now produce radio shows for.
Now, one of the ways that we learn space travel is, they say one of the first ways commonly, is to learn how to get out of our band. And where we can develop an energy field that we can put around our craft, which will protect it. So when we move out of band 5, you can move into the 6th band, and it's possible for some of the elements on our chart to exist in that band, and we can move. There's no time in that band. We are outside of time at that point, and we can re-enter somewhere else on the time belt. That's the first way most races, they say, generally learn to transcend the speed of light. You all remember from 8th grade science that atomic chart of elements on the wall that none of us wanted to memorize or cared about but had to for the test? Okay, those elements are the elements that we've discovered up till now, and theoretically they only exist below the speed of light. We use the speed of light as kind of a barrier because that's, up till now, mostly the fastest thing that we know of. We're discovering a few subatomic particles that now go faster than other elements, but for the sake of our discussion, those elements don't exist beyond the speed of light. They break down. They won't go any faster than that is our belief. So, let's say it is our craft. Surprise, tonight for a price of admission, we're all going to take a ride on a craft, okay? So right outside, we step inside of our craft, and we take off, and we're going to fly to the Pleiades. Here's how it works. Say you have an instruction manual, and I hand it to one of you and say, well, we got to learn how to fly this thing. So I find the buttons, and you say, push green button to go. Okay, we take off, we feel no movement. We're moving along, and suddenly it starts rocking a little bit, and the instruction manual says we have to turn on the energy screen around the ship, which we do. That gives us our own specific gravity inside of the craft, so we don't feel any other gravity beyond us. It stabilizes our craft. So now we can do all sorts of movements and gyration, and we are specific to the gravity inside of the ship. So we don't care what happens outside. Now it says, fly 153 million kilometers outside of the solar system before engaging hyperspace. Okay. Do that. That's what the book says. It says on here the reason for that is the ship is going to become dematerialized and move outside of time, and in order to do that, we should be 153 million kilometers past the solar system so as not to cause any rippling effect that might destabilize the orbit of any of the planets. It's a safety measure. Okay, we'll go along with that. We fly out. We're at 153 million kilometers. Now it says we have to do it through a couple of rather tricky stages here or we will be lost forever. It says first, we must speed the ship up to approximately the speed of light. Because without boring you with science, there's something called the mass-speed correlation. In other words, the faster you go, there's resistance. You know how you're in water and you go through water? There's resistance to the water, right? There's resistance to air. There's also resistance in free space. Although we've been told it's a vacuum, it's not empty. It is full of energy. And as you speed up, even in this vacuum out there, there is resistance cramming in on us. That's the mass-speed correlation. But those screens we put up protect us. So we can go at tremendous speeds and we are being protected from the energy of the universe crushing in on us. Now, since that's such a tremendous force, we're going to use that force to facilitate something rather incredible. Since that pressure in on the ship is so powerful, when we reach these dramatic high speeds of millions and millions of miles per hour in there, turn off the screens. Just as we turn off the screens, what's going to happen? All that pressure is rushing in on the craft. They have learned since that pressure is free and it's available, they use that pressure to facilitate dematerialization of the particles of the craft. Remember earlier we talked about nothing being solid, only in a three-dimensional world, that it's really spinning energy? It's converted back into energy forms. And at that same exact second, it is necessary to move the ship from the three-dimensional world into another dimension, which is sometimes called hyperspace or null time. If we go back to the universe and we've got the rings, inside of that material belt, there are different dimensions of reality where different kinds of particles can exist. We got to get out of our three-dimensional one or our particles won't work. If the ship, once it is dematerialized at those speeds, does not make the immediate transition over into hyperspace, we're gone forever and there's no way back. They say that's the most difficult part of science that we'll stumble onto. It may take us hundreds of years to figure that out because it requires a knowledge of dimensions and of the spiritual energies that make the universe work. Without the spiritual knowledge of how it works, we'll never figure it out.
Experience. Moments in our lives that feel different somehow, more intense and inspiring.
And we then found, I must say, that the results were quite fabulous. You see, insofar as they dealt more precisely, not just with concentration and belief in general, but with this very kind of area where the actor is struggling not with the objects that he's trying to make real or with the scene or the situation, but with the presence of the audience, which is there all the time and which in a way should be there, because after all, even when he does the private moment, he knows that people are watching.
What he's going to say to me? No, you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, I can't. I have to go to the mall with my wife, look for towels and sheets.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so romantic. Let's go to the phones. Hi, my first name is Gene Allen, and what is yours?
From Columbia, Missouri.
Hi, Jacqueline. Nice to have you here. Good. Good to have you. Do you enjoy?
Thank you.
Good. Good to have you. Do you enjoy shopping with the Fashion Channel?
Well, to matter of fact, I just became a member about an hour ago, but I watch you all the time.
Oh, great. I'm so glad. Well, that's nice. What finally made you decide to take the plunge and come in with
it? Well, I ordered the first order I had was the interchangeable earrings, silver earrings.
Okay.
Different beads.
All right.
And then I saw the three sterling silver neck chain.
Great.
And that was my second order today.
Very nice.
I didn't say that other word. Let's get rid of the nigger mess.
But they're very quickly going to, and very immediately follow the state of the art for what's available. So, like, you know, a website, a web presence, going to want to be state of the art. Newest audio, the newest video, the newest database connection, the newest. You know, what do we call them, little operating system things that give them intelligence and bring them alive so that when you enter one of these presences, you can, take your hat off and get down for some serious playtime. And, but they're not conscious of it. And the thing is, though, it's all set up for just, like I said before, oh yeah, America's second law is, the first law is if it works, anything that works physically is real. The second law, since America is a country that prides itself, however hypocritically, on being a high-minded, principled land, the land of the OJ denial land, the Marv Albert arrogance land of hubris, marching onward even beyond, even into the below the Mason-Dixon line. So this feigned entertainment of self-satisfied elitism based on principled behavior that America thinks it has, well, it does have the desire for that, see. And the second law of America, which is the second law of planet Earth, since the whole world is America, and of course vice versa, and I tell anybody, is that, if it works, it's right.
What is the nature of that which is in the resonance, within the resonance. Does it have dissonance? Does it have consonance?
Make that transition. Fortunately, we've got a new model of craft, and we just punch the button and it does it for us automatically. Billy says when that ship speeds up, that jump it makes out into hyperspace is so automatic you never knew it happened.
Then how to work with it, what needs to be done with it, how it needs to be shifted, how it needs to be adjusted.
Because I don't want to give up visual thinking.
And I heard this information, and it just totally changed my life.
Inside the craft talking, he says, sometimes you feel a little ripple in your body when they make a jump, but that's all. Most of the time you feel nothing. You don't even know it happens, because once you're into hyperspace, it's timeless. You're no longer a material functioning being, and the ship rematerializes at its destination, because the particles that are projected into hyperspace contain a programming that tells it how to get back.
A little formula involves the numbering of three, which is the part of the journey that's caught by the camera in this human part of the neighborhood. Refer to yourself twice. That's one, two, three. That's the breadcrumb path out of here. And that's the easiest way to be here, isn't it? Be here and not here a lot each moment. That's Newton I'm talking about. The home of the fig and the physics of that name. And ain't that the way it is? WZBC, of course. A media source, part of the community of media, whores that we be,
we're left feeling dissatisfied and restless with a life that seems ordinary. We're finally becoming conscious of what we're actually looking for.
that, you don't come back, okay? By the way, if you're interested scientifically, for those of you who may follow me to that point, once the craft has been converted outside of the three dimension, they call it fine matter. It's converted into a fine matter state. The speed and the stabilization of the particles, of the fine matter particles that we are now in, is critical. If those particles slow down, we will slip millions of years in time. 1 second in the timeless is equal to millions of years in the real clock. To slip just a little bit and come back to Earth, millions of years would have gone by and we wouldn't be able to get back to our original source. The speed at which we are fine matter is moving in the timeless is critical. Okay? So, fortunately, we have a very good, high-quality craft, so we're not going to have any problems there. The craft reappears, and then we fly down into the Pleiadian solar system, because we came in outside of their system so as not to damage anything. Hence, it takes 3.5 hours to speed up and get outside of the solar system, zip to make the jump, and then 3.5 hours to fly into a Pleiadian system. That's why it takes 7 hours.
Jim Hightower, who, when asked if he would support a third party, said he thought a second party would be a better idea. Eight business channels, but no labor channels. Do we have, is there a fair representation of the concerns? And I don't think so.
Just that the credibility hasn't gotten there yet. And so we're at this very interesting point where the concept has been demonstrated time and time again. Good morning, America, so forth. However, it's going to be another few years before the concept becomes credible to the American public.
Let's roll over, Doctor, what they did on Good Morning America. Not everybody saw that. It was a very, very interesting demonstration, and I recall that they showed that they could, for example, cause radioactive elements, such as waste, to deteriorate and eventually, or even fairly rapidly, become harmless. How did they do that?
And you'd never drink from a river now. I never knew about, 25 sunblock when I was a kid for fear of skin cancer.
Any questions on that before we brain break you?
Animating in which we do not have to animate. This understanding must be at the base of your existence if you're going to practice. By practice, I don't mean merely changing your diet and so forth. I mean practicing the conscious process and conductivity, or the real force of the spiritual exercise.
you going, Dorothy?
I'm returning to my room. My anxiety is awaiting me.
You think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I like my room. Everything I need is there.
Don't you think you should stay here until you face this pain more directly?
Face it more directly? I face it every day. I fall in love with married men, but I do it on purpose. I drink too much, and that's because I'm thirsty. And I write doodads because it's a doodad kind of town. Nothing personal, Doctor. But I think my version of pain is more fun than yours. You're up.
It must be this understanding in which you discover that what you acknowledge to be disease, your unhappiness, obstruction, and so forth, is simply something that you're doing to yourself. Something that you're fully responsible for, something that is without necessity, something that you're adding to existence, something that you are being, in fact, instead of simply being, truly and fully. And if there is this understanding, if you stop pinching yourself, if you simply stand prior to this gesture of unhappiness, then you're in a position to see, to contact, to locate, to be aware of, intimate with, and then submitted to the condition in which you truly exist, in which you always already exist, in which all of nature exists, in which all beings exist. And having located that, you can practice, and practice is primarily submission to that condition.
Well, this is a technology based on so-called cold fusion, which is a very interesting concept. It's one that has been explored by a number of researchers. And my sense of it is that, yes, radioactive waste can be rendered harmless.
The rest of us know that's impossible. The LAPD can't even thin traffic out after a Dodger game. Johnny Cochran could sell you a plate of shit and have you asking for seconds. Effley Bailey spewing out scenarios more deranged than a pitch meeting at the new Paramount Network. And Robert Shapiro is the only guy who uses a stretch limo to chase ambulances.
Diane, 3 p.m., just back from the Lydecker Clinic. While a llama may produce some of the finest of wools prized around the world, their breath, on the other hand, could only be prized somewhere in the far reaches of llama hell. Lydecker's records tell us that the bird that attacked Laura was a minor bird named Waldo, owned by Jacques Renault. The plastic fragment found in Laura Palmer's stomach was a poker chip from across the border at One-Eyed Jack's. Jacques is a Canadian national, known to have worked on and off at the casino. When all signs point to Rome, Diane, it's time to buy Lyra and go.
And my partner and I produced hundreds of hours of programming about hemp. And one of the subjects that hasn't got mentioned yet, though Chris wanted to talk about it, was the hemp seed. Now, I happen to know the researcher, Dr. Roberta Hamilton, who's a biochemist from UCLA, who was doing a research project to find the most nutritious food on the planet, and it just turned out to be the hemp seed. And this is a woman that's a grandmother in her 70s, and she has been speaking out a lot about the nutritional value because it is the perfect balance. And when we're talking about diseases with immune system deficiencies, like AIDS, like cancer, the chemotherapy kills your immune system, eating this seed or taking the oil can rebuild our immune systems. I call it preventative medicine.
Are you aware of that, Chris?
Oh, yeah, and I was trying to work it in a couple of times myself here as this is She Who Remembers.
This is She Who Remembers.
I thought I recognized your voice. And in fact, the hemp seed contains the essential fatty acids that help with the immunological system in this ratio that's the closest to our human anatomy of any other seed out there. So it's in a proportionate that works the best for people. And it also has something in it called Edison that helps the digestion process. Plus, it lubricates the bowels, improves bowel movements, etc.
Okay, we'll break and then we'll come. We're waiting for everybody to come back in the room. Good time for me to sneak in a couple of commercials. I had a couple of questions about the materials that I brought along. I've mentioned to you that Myers Contacts went on for 3 years. There was 115 physical contacts from 75 through 78, which produced about 1,800 pages of written notes. And there's a pile of them about that deep.
Or whatever you want to do in an intermediated way, which, you know, some of it, of course, will be, pornographic. And, logic, extends these concepts to their logical conclusion. And, but they're going to stay state-of-the-art at all times, because people aren't going to want to use, second-rate crap when they don't have to for the same money, you know.
Sites.
Uh-huh.
And certainly to my surprise and to many of the researchers, what we found is that in many of the ancient temples, the chambers, the sacred sites throughout the world, including right here in North America, when we were in those chambers, the chambers apparently thousands of years ago simulated then the very conditions that we're living on Earth right now. I'm sharing that piece of information now is because now as we go back and look at these ancient texts and the traditions and we have a context, what we find is that thousands of years ago, individuals were immersing themselves into chambers, then simulating what we were about to live thousands of years later, writing to us in the only way that they knew how, describing what it may mean to our bodies, to our time-space relationships, to our sense that time may be speeding up or slowing down.
Indeed. All of the above.
This is where I believe I see the tremendous continuity between what we're living today and what the ancient and the indigenous traditions, the mystical traditions, the mystery schools have prepared certain groups of people for hundreds and thousands of years.
And that demented little Tolkien character Carl Douglas should just shut the fuck up and go to a spa. Of course, how could the case not be riveting with Judge Lance Ito at the helm? When Ito says jump, people say... So anyway, I was... I wish Ito would just cut the showbiz crap and turn to OJ and say, so what's up with this shit, man? Are you guilty or what?
Through this technology, and it's just a matter of time.
Because, you know, this will all plateau and level off. See, that's something that we don't have now. Right now we have Gates Marketing, you know, where they're creating this William Randolph Hearst syndrome of, you know, fake scarcity, you know, which drives capitalism still. Well, that's going to end very soon. As soon as we cross the Rubicon of audio-video, what's that word, standards. You know, we're almost at operating system standards, whatever it's going to be, and we're certainly going to be at the audio-video standard, because that's an absolute in the world of media. In other words, at least CD quality audio and at least high-definition TV video, you know, streaming, that's a standard, because the human body has that as a standard. We can always improve on those and make 3D or virtual space, or, you know, synesthesia will become big eventually, where you'll have a synergy of senses that are more than the actual sense parts. So, as we know now, audio-video is much more than just audio by itself, and vice versa. Well, what about, like, video and what are those things, those things that have odor? Pheromones, yeah. Once we digitize pheromones and shoot them worldwide,
very nice. Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear it. That's a wonderful value on sterling in the herringbone, isn't it?
Right, it is. I'm mostly a gold person, and I noticed in my wardrobe some things that I would wear, gold just wouldn't really come out in it, you know, and I really needed something silver. So for Valentine's Day, my husband did buy me a herringbone necklace and matching bracelet.
Right.
As well as dissonance and consonance, within every resonance there is light, and there is substance. And there is a balance or an imbalance of each. There are some who have too much light in relationship to the substance. Now hear us please, and please do hear us clearly. We're not saying that there are those who have too much light. No one can have too much light. There are some, perhaps in a martyred state, that like to think that's the problem. They're just too loving, they're just too caring, they just have too much light, but that is never the case. However, what is the case can be that a person has too much light in relationship, in ratio, if you will, to that of their substance. Often when someone has too much light, the substance of light looks tawdry. The substance of life looks more like mud rather than substance. When there's too much light, one doesn't want to, quote, dirty one's hands by digging around in the mud, in the tawdriness of life, in the mundane, in the living of life. When there's too much light in relationship to substance, there is a certain idealism and a certain perfection that often leads one to and leaves one in a state of potential that never becomes real, that never manifests in your reality. Likewise, at the other end of the spectrum, no one can have too much substance, not really. But one can have too much substance in relationship to the light. And when this happens, when a person has too much substance in relationship to the light in their reality, they often get, quote, stuck in the mud, in the swamp. they dig around in the dirt of life and that same thing and often get lost there, get stuck there, figuring they've got to somehow fix everything and work everything and resolve everything, and that they don't deserve until they somehow have done all of the work. They can get lost. In the mud, in the swamp, they dig around in the dirt of life in that same thing and often get lost there, get stuck there, figuring they've got to somehow fix everything and work everything and resolve everything, and that they don't deserve until they somehow have done all of the work. They can get lost. They have much potential. And many opportunities. But they always find themselves short. Falling short. Of those opportunities.
We should have do-it-yourself kind of horror films in which you can involve yourself in the screen, or it was like the thing at Expo where you had several choices of what would happen at the end. But I think it would be very nice if you could actually get up, and if you had the lucky number, and stab something on stage and, you know, catch it.
Well, that's what goes on in a Mardi Gras. I mean, you get out in the street in your bizarre costume and you all dance around, and it isn't scripted or plotted, and all kinds of things happen, ritual, murders are enacted, and so
they
on.
Are so happenings,
they are real happenings. Yeah.
Get rid of the bullshit.
But the private moment somehow helps him to deal with that necessary degree of concentration that helps him to feel private and therefore to do, to be able to do what he desires to achieve.
And just to kind of flesh that statement out, as we said earlier, almost universally, the traditions, the calendars, the systems of timekeeping, texts, and the oral traditions point to this time in history as being unique. Now, for the first time, I believe that we're digitally measuring at least these two changes. There are many other things happening. Certainly, all the outrageous phenomenon that are unfolding now.
Well, I'm...
Had one towel, one sheet for 25 years. All of a sudden, he needs new towels and sheets. Who put those ideas in a guy's head, man?
And that's good news, of course. This technology works It will work in a larger scale. For example, all the radioactive waste in Hanford, Washington, could be rendered inactive.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to those, but
we're measuring these
again. If the actual magnetic field disappears,
yes,
what effect would there be?
Well, the effects, the way that we interpret those effects is what's so interesting now. So I'll make a statement now. We'll get into it as we go through our program, because the traditions also say that our bodies will change as we experience this time in history. And for years, researchers said, you know, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, our bodies are going to change. We've looked the same for hundreds or thousands of years. What's really changing? In the last 5 years, the research has suggested the possibility, and it's only been in the last 2 years that this possibility has been confirmed, are that human DNA is changing to accommodate these shifts in the parameters of the Earth in terms of magnetics, in terms of frequency.
May I interrupt and just tell you that...
The Dutch call it City of Cats and Canals. A dangerous combination, and yet, miraculously, there hasn't been a cat drowning in over 300 years. Incredible, you say? Let's stop in at Europe's oldest cat swimming school and talk to instructor Hans Hooten.
One, two, and breathe. One, two, and breathe. Keep the toes and the tail pointed. Claws in. And don't be afraid to get those whiskers wet. You do it when you drink milk. Okay, here we go.
Yumpin' Yimini, you're swimming! Now remember that flutter kick.
Moments like this make it all worthwhile. When I can take a student who's scared of the water, help him conquer his fear, and give him a sense of pride and self-confidence, well, you can see it. It carries over into other areas of their lives. Boots here couldn't swim a stroke when she first came, but look at her now.
Come on, move those paws. Okay, that's great. Take a shower. Bye, Yingo. 2:30. Time for my advanced intermediate class. Everybody in the pool.
Make use of this capacity for insight. He makes use of all kinds of disciplines that serve our equanimity or that release energy and attention from habitual tendencies of a kind that simply dramatize unhappiness. but primarily practice is submission.
Steady now, brethren, and remember, stand by your guru. I know you all have one. Don't deny it now. Don't pull an OJ on me. I know better than that. I've been through the human gene pool, swimming underwater, holding my breath kind of thing. In the darkness, it's all closing in. The only way to avoid pain, go through the labyrinth. Isles of Langerhorns. In, around. Get it right now. Perfection will save me and make me pure. Or at least stop that emotional pain. Sounds like a James Ellroy novel. If I were to continue. And you know where those novels end up, don't you? The Gary Geiserman wind up, bring him out on a dolly kind of DJ amalgam, electronically recapitulated for your viewing pleasure. On a pretty good media program, I must admit, if I don't mind saying so myself, if I may be so bold. Worth every penny, don't you think? Nothing less than you deserve. And more than I can afford. Going on the internet soon, then put all this behind us. Taking you with me. We'll get there, my friends. Radio Free Alston, don't despair. The digital world awaits you. I mean, what else is left around here? More corporatism? Well, do ya, punk? Going till 2 o'clock. Then I'm going to step out of the sphere of materialism and re-decomposing myself into a jar with fireflies. Put the cork in. Go to the Isle of Langerhorns. Close my eyes and wish, oh wish, it'll all be okay. And I'll see you next Thursday when we can play with some toys again. That's what I do. I play with some of my fun things, kind of like lingerie, if you drift along with me. And isn't that what life's all about after all? I knew you would. Legoland coming up at 2. ZBC Rock at 7. Art Bell's on now, 680 AM on the RKO AM overnight. You might want to call that station during the day if you like Art Bell, so that maybe they'll keep him on instead of reruns of some daytime dreck schlock crap that they play during the day there. And Talk Radio Boston. One Auschwitzian burn hole. Like when you eat too much fake chocolate and get anal toast. My God, does that suck. Of course, every Thursday you have my show, which can disgust you in an opposite torque and render you balanced and media neutral for the rest of your corporate or corporate dreaming work week. Don't tell me you don't have a corporate job. I know better. Don't tell me you don't worship at the shrine. Don't try and pull anything on me. I know that your knees are all dirty. And you wear brown clothing to cover it up. I'm going to go tweak some buttons and pull some levers again. Play with some ionized, magnetized friends, dead friends who lived hours and hours ago and live yet again. I will pass the magnetized head across the field, the strawberry field. And dream to learn another day, another broadcast day.
To the condition of being.
I didn't say that other word.
Mr. Strasberg, it would be quite wrong if we gave the impression that we were doing anything more than skimming very briefly over a few of the points involved in your teachings.
So dream, my friends, within a few years we will have real media upon the waters. That is the dream of the waters. To have the hand of God swim through there. And that has not happened very much yet. But it is coming. Some real godfalutin media, like angels, I guess, huh? Come to dance and play with us. But it's not here yet. Only a few trailers now and again.
Therefore never manifest them, never allow them to become real in their reality. So it is valuable, it is important to look out, not to label yourself in some sort of generic categorization of I am one this way or one that way, but rather to look at the specifics of your resonance. and which of those items within your residence has light and which has substance, which has too much light in relationship to the substance, which has too much substance in the relationship to the light. You may see the fear in a state of dissonance, and you may see that it also is in a state of too much light. My fear has too much light. How can that possibly be? How can that be? It can be in a state of dissonance, certainly so, in a state of disarray, and sometimes there, sometimes not there. And it can have too much light in that you feel that you should somehow be without fear, that somehow you should be beyond fear, somehow you should be evolved enough and spiritual enough, and you, if you were really evolved enough and spiritual enough, then you wouldn't have any fear at all, and you'd never arise, and you would be perfect and fear nothing, ever, ever. That would be a fear that has too much light. Similarly, in reverse, your fear may be in a consonant state. It's always there, every turn, and it has too much substance in relationship to its light. I see my fear only as impedance, only as a problem, only as what stands in my way. I never see that it can guide me, it can teach me. I do not see that it can be the flag to show me where I can find deeper love, where I might find the magic, where I might find the mystery, where I might find my imagination that has been lost in fear. No, I never see any of that. I just find myself slogging about in fear. And I never see how I might use it as an ally, how I might benefit from it.
Lovely. Just lovely. But it's only a small part of Holland's complete feline safety program. For this is not just a swimming school. It is also the Royal Dutch Hang Gliding School for cats, located high atop Amsterdam's tallest building.
Even outside, the grounds around the courthouse look more like the souvenir gauntlet at a NASCAR championship. I'm fairly certain you can get a set of those free O.J. corn tongs and a guilty, not guilty car freshener for under $20. Finally, there's a rental James Simpson himself, sitting at the defense table making more faces than Hugh Grant explaining things to Liz Hurley. You know, I honestly believe O.J. thinks he's innocent. I think he's strolling into the courtroom each day much the same way Ed Wood showed up on a set of Plan 9 from outer space. And he'll be utterly flabbergasted if the jury gives his little Opus 12 thumbs down. And yet here's the really sad part. Instead of being repulsed by all this, every day millions of us religiously tune in to rubberneck this intergalactic carnival. The media claim that they're just doing their job, feeding the news appetite of the American people. And I guess it's really not their fault that we happen to be bulimic in that area. The key thing we must all remember about the O.J. trial is that it is trial by flurry. Lawyers on both sides bicker incessantly over matters that have precious little to do with discovering the truth.
Combine that with video. I mean, we're talking a whole new porn industry here, and I'm talking, a lot of probably big money and illegal activity.
I want something to eat. I want to know what we're
going to
have. I'm just
starving. No, but tell me, do you ever had any diets? I mean, have you been on diets?
I've been on every diet on the planet. And right now I'm allergic to everything on the planet diet.
I'm not going to name names and tell you who or what I represent.
But also, pheromones, they probably have to be outlawed, I guess, like subliminal advertising, but...
It's hard to make this stuff up, you know? It's like the more we have researched it, the more amazing it becomes.
I think one of the great technological trends of the next 50 or 100 years is going to be just that. I think probably within 100 years, agriculture may have deserted the land, which is a very inefficient food-producing medium.
In fact, jumping away from the hemp seeds for a moment, Mercedes-Benz, the company that owns that, is now planning on using hemp fiber for their cars because they found it's better than fiberglass.
Except to say you're close. You're closer than you think.
Because you believe you have to. You believe that you are subject to your circumstances.
But at any rate, once we hit that audio-video plateau, though, that will be a minimum below which we'll never go again.
I used to like to sit in front of the TV with like a big bowl of oatmeal and just sit there with a bunch of brown sugar watching television and just eat. I just like to eat all of the time. And somehow it made me feel like I was full inside because it was so empty when I wasn't eating. It was just like there was this big black hole in space that was inside of me that nothing could ever fill. I was just depressed at five. But there was this candy store right down the street from where I lived that was Freddy's.
I can't see saying to my mom, hey mom, I'm going to the ballpark. Me and Achnot are going to play a little basketball. You know what I'm saying? They don't know the fucking language. It's unbelievable. I get in a cab, right? I get in a fucking cab. And I say to the guy, get me to the theater of living arts. So this guy turns around with that smell. They never heard of soap, these fucking people, right? With that fucking smell, and he's looking at me. Hey, what you doing? Hey, what you doing? I'm you fucking G.
This thing is going slower than Jimmy Stewart reciting the Mahabharata on the back of an arthritic tortoise that is munching a quaalude on a humid Sunday afternoon in a hammock hung between two trees in the intensified gravity of the planet Jupiter.
Never for anything. Just like we don't go below that in anything now. You know, even a telephone, it sounds okay. You know, we would never go below that for anything. And so you see what I'm getting at there. And that could have been arrived at quite a while ago, but it's been Gates marketed to us, spoon-fed for maximum capital gain. But once we cross that, then it can never be used again. We'll have claimed that. And, you know, again, this whole... Everything to do with the computer is the end of the end for domination reality. The more that, you know, every day that goes by that we still have this in our world is another day of growth, of the liberation of the human spirit, of course, you know. To a non-dominated reality, you know, a dominion thing. So, so advice for you then is to keep in mind that you're going to want to continuously go to these higher states of the art levels of audio, video, and other services for what you do. You know, it starts more and more to obey the new laws of energy, which is the more intricacy. The easier it is to use or to create with, as opposed to the old law of domination reality, smothered by old capitalism, which is the more intricate it is, the harder it is to use. The more skills need to be created and then learned to have this fake sense of control and thus master, and then fake mastery. See, this is all the illusion of domination over the environment reality that we've all been living in.
And man, you know who. You know fucking who. Great fucking party, though, Joey. I'm telling you, me and Frankie, we're playing all the great party games, you know, like who can snort the most coke, who can make his nose bleed first, who can drink the most shots, who can see double first, man. Getting hammered, man. Hammered out of our minds, right? You know when you're like this close to puking and you don't puke? Like that. All night long, man. Nice. All fucking night, man. This feeling of brain cells dying in my head. I just say, oh, there goes the right side of my head. Oh, I'm a moron. Must have blacked out 5 times, man. I wakes up out of a blackout. I looks over. Louis on the couch. He's got his hands up the chick's blouse. This Angela, this girl we fixed him up with. He's got his hands up her blouse. He's got his tongue in her ear.